It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is
good morning, friends. What a great day God has given to us to share this Souls Harbor worship service with you. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. It is my privilege today to welcome you to this service. I also want to encourage you to join your hearts and your minds with us as we give God glory, honor, and praise. Today, mankind's vocabulary cannot fully express just how great God is. We find ourselves short of finding just the right words that can adequately describe who He is, what He is, what He can do, what He will do, what He has done, and so many other things. Well, today, it may be that all we can do is to join Sue Ellen Deera and Nyla Carmichael as they come to sing a familiar old song of the church. I love the old songs of the church. They are the songs that I grew up with. They became attached to my heart and my spirit. And I find myself singing these old songs over and over and over again. They have such great meaning to me. Well, here's one of those songs. It's a song that I think most of us will know, and we can sing it along with Sue Ellen and Nyla. It's a song that just simply says, "How great thou art."
My soul, my Savior God, to joy shall fill my heart. Then I shall bow in humble adoration and there proclaim, my God, how great thou art.
I'm not sure today that any of us can fully understand or comprehend the vastness of God's greatness. It is so much that we just cannot begin to imagine how big and great He really is. And yet, each and every day through His intercession in our lives, we see some of His greatness demonstrated through the love that He pours out upon us. You see, today, God does love us. And because He loves us, He wants to come to our lives to set us free from the many things that would bind us up. Today, we can experience joy because of Him. We can experience great peace in our lives because of Him. We can enjoy great freedom from the many things that would burden our hearts, our minds, our spirits. Yet, because of Him, we are set free. Listen to the words of this song, that we will understand just a little bit better how we ought to give God praise for what He's already done in our lives. You see, once like a bird in prison, I dwelt. There was no freedom from the sorrows I felt. But you see, Jesus came along, and when He came to set me free. What He's done for me today, He'll do for you if you'll just let Him. Listen to the words of this song, He set me free.
Once like a bird in prison I dwell, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. But Jesus came and listened to me, and glory to God, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. Oh, He set me free. He broke the bars of the prison. I'm glory bound by Jesus to see. Glory to God, He set me free. Now I am climbing higher each day. Darkness of night have drifted away. My feet are planted on higher ground. And glory to God, I'm home. He set me free, yes, He set me free. He broke the bars of the prison for me. I'm glory bound by Jesus to sing. Glory to God, He set me free. Goodbye to sin and things that confound. Not all the world shall turn me around. Daily I'm working, I'm praying too, and glory to God, I'm going through. He set me free.
singing that song, I confess, I did something that I don't recommend you do today. For just a moment, I tried to imagine where I might be if Jesus hadn't come and set me free. I'm sure of this. You don't have to convince me. I'm a firm believer that if he hadn't come and set me free, you would not want to know me. You would not want to experience anything in my life. I would, amongst all men, be most miserable, poor, and wretched. But because of him today, my life is, well, it is so different than what it could have been. When I look around and see others and how they are living, I am very grateful that because of God's love, his grace, and his mercy, I don't have to live as others have chosen to live. I can experience great joy and happiness, peace and comfort, all of the things that are necessary in order to enjoy this life that we're living today to its fullest. It's all because of God's great love towards us. Here's another great old song that's been around for, well, I don't know how long. I've been hearing it all of my life. It's a song that Wanda St. Peter's coming to sing. I hope that you can agree with her and that you can sing it along with her as she comes today to encourage us with a song that talks about the love of God.
The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. Oh, love of God, how rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure the saints and angels' song. When years of time shall pass away and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear refuse to pray on rocks and hills and mountains call, God's love so sure shall still endure all measureless and strong. Redeeming grace to Adam's race, the saints and angels' song. Could we with ink the ocean fill and were the the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky.
I am thoroughly convinced today that the secret to all of our needs being met is something that is not so much of a secret, really. It is the love of God. Because God loves us, His eyes are always upon us. He sees everything that we go through. He knows the hardships that we're facing, the temptations that we are enduring. He understands the weaknesses that cause such great struggle in this journey that we are trying to travel today. God knows everything that we're going through. The love of God is the answer, because when you consider His love, God can't just stand idly by watching us go through these things without coming to help us, especially when we call upon His name. It is amazing to me the volumes of prayer that can be whispered when we just speak the name of Jesus. I think really the truth of the matter is that when we speak His name, it means that we have turned our attention towards Him and we are asking Him for His help. Today, I want to encourage you to do that. Wherever you are, regardless of what you're going through, it doesn't matter what your situation is. As I lead you in prayer today, just begin to speak the name of Jesus. As you do that, God will know that you're calling upon Him for His help. And God already knows the kind of help you need. So I believe that while we are praying, God will dispatch the angels of heaven if necessary, in order for our need to be met. Let's trust Him for the things that we have need of today. Heavenly Father, we are so very grateful that You are always looking after us, seeing the things that are transpiring in our lives. Today, as we speak Your name, I pray that You will look upon us one more time and interpret the speaking of Your name as a cry for help. And Lord, I pray that You will quickly come to our rescue. Today it may be that some need You more urgently than others. But Lord, the truth of the matter is, we all need You in one way or another. So God, I pray as a result of our calling upon Your name today, that You will come, that You will begin to make a difference in all of these different areas that we need Your help with. Lord, if You'll do that, Our promise is that we will give you even greater praise, greater honor, and greater glory. For Lord, we will know that we have you to thank for the help and the miracles that we receive. We ask you these things today in the name of Jesus. Amen.
I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Said, ain't he going to let old Satan get me down, down, down? Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting just a little bit higher. I'm going to walk out of this valley with my Lord.
Now when the Lord let down a hedge on Job to try him, he took all of his children and everything he owned. But old Job didn't sit down and cry. He just lifted his head up higher, came out of that valley, praise God with a whole lot more.
I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Said, ain't he going to let old Satan get me down, down, down? Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting just a little bit higher. I'm going to walk out of this valley with my Lord. You know the road we've got to travel to that city. Well, it won't always be on the mountaintop, but the valley we've got to face. God said he'd give us grace to come up on the hill where the sun is shining bright.
I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't going to let old Satan get me down, down, down. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting just a little bit higher. I'm going to walk out of this valley with my Lord. I'm going to walk right out of this valley, lift my hands and praise the Lord. Ain't he going to let old Satan get me down, down, down? Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting just a little bit higher. I'm going to walk out of this valley with my Lord. Why should I sit here till I die? Heaven's awaiting just a little bit higher. I'm going to walk out of this valley with my Lord.
In the world of the church, you will often hear us use the word valley to describe a place where we sometimes find ourselves. That word valley describes a time of testing, a time where we are going through some trials, some adversities. Maybe they are low points in our lives where we don't feel like we have much strength or an ability to endure. Well, it just could be that you're going through one of those places today. Everybody does. Nobody is exempt from it. But it's good to know that when you find yourself in a valley, that God is in the valley with you. And when you call upon Him, He can bring you the strength that you need, the comfort you need, all the things that you need in order for you to climb back to the top of the mountain. My best advice to you today is to do what Pastor Dave Bean is coming to sing about. You can take the words of this song and sing them as a prayer. He's coming to sing, "Bring Back the New Again." Maybe that's what some of us are wanting to feel. And in feeling that, we will find strength and these things that we have need of to overcome the things that have gotten in our pathway. Pray this prayer as Pastor Bean comes to sing, "Bring Back the New Again."
I can still remember the wonderful feeling back when I first got to know you. It seemed the world was mine. I had joy, I had springtime, but that's all just a memory anymore. I guess I took my eyes off you, Lord, and I don't want this calloused feeling anymore. Please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new day. I want to see you again. Bring back the way. Wasn't long ago when my life was still growing and every new day was a challenge. But indifference turned me cold, made things stale, they seemed old. Now I've lost that happy song I used to sing. It seems I forgot the most important. But I don't want this calloused feeling anymore. Please bring back the way it was before. Bring back the new again. Oh, I want to see you. I want to see you.
I trust that wherever you may be today, that you have been experiencing the presence of God with these songs that have been sung. I trust that you are being strengthened and feeling refreshed in your spirit as God has been working through the songs and the different things that we have done so far in this service. We have to pause for just a moment to once again ask you to prayerfully consider helping us with the needs of the Souls Harbor Ministry. This ministry has no other source of income that can support the budget that it takes to air this program from week to week outside of the free will offerings that you, the viewer, give. We know that we minister to a great audience. We also know that out of the great audience that we minister to, well, there's a small portion that give. Today, maybe you have never given in support of this ministry, yet you faithfully watch it from week to week. We're not asking folk to give large gifts. We're just asking everybody that can to do a little something, knowing that if we will all put our shoulder to the wheel, that what we give will be enough. And that's all we're asking for today. We're just asking for enough so that we can come back next week and air another service. So today, if you'll prayerfully consider what God would have you to do, I believe whatever God speaks to your heart, it'll be what is needed to join in with the gifts that others will give, and through that, the needs of this ministry will be met. So today, I want to give you our contact information. If you'll write down these addresses, telephone numbers, ways that you can get in touch with us, and then get in touch with us, we'll be able to know what to do next with the future of this ministry. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. To make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, please call our office in the U.S. at 207-285-3131. Also in the U.S., you can take advantage of making a contribution online. Just go to our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. Just like it's written there on your screen, you'll be able to get to our website, and then if you'll click on the donate button at the bottom of the homepage, you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. And then, please, if you'd like to make a contribution by MasterCard, Visa, or Discover Card, call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for helping us with this heavy load that we are carrying. It just seems like the last few weeks have been a greater struggle, and we are trying and praying and just trusting God to help us in an unusual way today. So if you'll just do whatever God is laying on your heart, I know that that's exactly what'll happen. We'll have the miracle that we're praying for, and you will have our gratitude and our promise to pray that God will bless you in a very special way for what you have done to help us once again. As I get ready to go over and share something from the Word of God, I want to first of all sing a song that I believe needs to be heard by many people today. Maybe you're in a situation where you're concerned about what's going to happen next. Maybe today the future looks so dark and so bleak that your heart is fearful of what tomorrow may hold. Well, I want to encourage you with this song and then encourage you with the words in the message to let you know today that if you'll just consider the lilies, you may find the strength you need to face these things that are before you. If you know this great song, please sing it along with me today as I share with you the song, Consider the Lilies. Consider the lilies, they don't toil or spin. There's not a king more splendor than them. Consider the sparrow, they don't plant nor sow, but they're fed by the Master who watches them grow. We have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will. will know. May I introduce you to this friend of mine who hangs out the stars, tells the sun when to shine. He kisses the flowers each morning with dew, but he's not too busy to care about you. Oh, we have a heavenly Father above, with eyes full of mercy and a heart full of love. He really cares when your head is bowed low. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. Consider the lilies, and then you will know. I wish there was a way that I could convince you even more that God will take care of us. You see, the basis of that song is found in Matthew chapter 6 and in the Gospel of Luke chapter 12, where we consider the lilies, we consider the bird, we consider all of these things that God just takes care of. We can relax, we can be comforted, we can be assured that God will not fail us, that God will meet every need of our lives. Now, I know we live in a very needy day. The needs are too numerous for us to track, for us to keep a number of. It seems like when we resolve one thing, something else comes along to take its place. And you can't look to any corner of this world today without seeing trouble of some kind. I hope that in the next few moments I can share some things with you that will help you to understand that God can help you no matter how difficult, challenging, or desperate things may be. Whether we're talking about the world in general or we're talking about your personal world in particular. There are some things that we can do that will help us to survive the things that we're facing with today. But I don't want to settle for just surviving. I want to encourage you today that beyond surviving, you can thrive in this world. That there's nothing taking place in or around you that is too great that God can't help you to overcome it. Today, I want to begin what I believe is going to be a short series of messages to help you with some things that you can do that will bring strength to your life, that will bring endurance and stability, these things that we have need of in order for us to be an overcomer in the world that is trying to overcome us. If you would today, take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of James, James chapter 1. I want to take something that's being said here in the book of James and just kind of pull it apart a little bit today, to talk about some different aspects of things that we can do that will help us to first of all survive, and then once we have survived, we will thrive. James chapter 1, verse 12 says this: "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he is approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Now, as I said, we're living in trying times. They are trying times because they try us. They test our patience. They work on our endurance. Of course, we understand we have an adversary today who would love to destroy us. So he uses all of these things that are happening in our world today to try to wear us down until he has worn us out. I say worn us out because that's usually when we throw in the towel and give up. The most dangerous thing, the most harmful thing you could do today for your own well-being is to give up. Oh, I know, we may feel like we don't have any strength. We may feel like we just don't have the capacity to endure another hardship, another trial, another adversity. Yet we underestimate sometimes just how far we can go when God steps in to help us. And I want to say it one more time today. I believe God will step in to help us if we will ask Him to. That's why we take time to pray. That's why we exercise our faith. That's why we walk boldly into the throne room of God to make our supplications known, so that we can outlast the storm that we're going through, that we can overcome the challenges that are before us, that we can endure hardness as a good soldier, as Paul the Apostle instructed the young evangelist to do. Oh, things will come and put you to the test, but you don't have to succumb to the test that you are being put through. There are things that we can do today that will add into our lives the ability to endure the hardness of our situations. You see, that when we look at what James is saying, we have to realize that the enemy uses events, circumstances, situations against us. He would love to wear us down, and through hardships and adversities, he is able to do that. We only have just so much strength. If we don't replenish that strength along the road of life, then we will wear out. And when we wear out, we are even more vulnerable than when we have at least a little strength. Oh, the enemy uses these things against us. He attacks us with those things that appeal to the eye and the ear, the nose, the touch, the mind, because we're as vulnerable to bad things as we are to good things. Isn't it amazing how we hear a little bad news and sometimes our life just begins to fall apart? The thing that the news has reported hasn't come. It's the anticipation of what may come that seems to drag us down and defeat us. Then there are those times when we are on the opposite end of that spectrum, where the good things of life can be as destructive as the bad things of life. Everybody wants to enjoy the good times. Everybody wants things to happen in a good way, where our lives are being added to and not subtracted from. We want to do the things that bring laughter and joy, peace of mind. There are some times, though, in this sinful world that we can get caught up in those things without realizing that they are destroying us as well. It is amazing to me when you look at the church world today how taken up we are of the things of this world, where we will let go of the house of God, where we will let go of the things that we should be doing each and every day to keep us strong, and substitute something that we think is good and yet is so destructive. Now, I know already people are saying, oh, I don't want to listen to this. This isn't going to do anything for me. But hang on, and please give me just a few more moments. It won't last long. I promise you, there's good news ahead. But we have to be aware. There are so many tricks and devices that our enemy uses against us. It's no wonder that Solomon said in Proverbs chapter 27, verse 20, that hell and destruction are never full, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. We often look to the things of this world to satisfy what may be going on within us. How many times have we thought, if I could just have this or have that, I know my life would be more fulfilling, and I'd be happier. I'd have more joy. I'd be able to get more out of life. And then when those things don't come, we think we're missing. And we think that, well, because I don't have this and I don't have that, then I can't have a complete life. Or how about the other thing? We get that thing that we are fixated on, and we realize after we got it to where we now own it, we have to maintain it, we have to keep it in good state, so, and it robs from our life. It didn't do what we thought it would do, and we find ourselves still lacking. Well, there are some things that won't cost you silver and gold. There are some things that we can do that will not be hard for you to do, yet they are necessary for you to do so that you can reap the benefit of doing them. And that's the thing I want to talk to you about today. You see, God didn't put this so far out of our reach that we couldn't obtain it. God promised some great things for our life. What kind of a God would he be if he promised those things but then wouldn't deliver those things as we sought after them? There'd be no hope for us. But you see, when we get on our knees and we begin to talk to God, God brings these things into our life that will help us. It's good to know that when the world abandons you, when you feel like Job in the Old Testament, that you've lost everything that was value to you, when you've lost everything that was important to you, when you've lost everything that seemingly brought meaning to your life, all you have is God. You have all you need. You see, it's not in houses and land. It's not in material gain. It's not in the job you work. It's not in your income. It's not, none of these things of this world really matter, because in the end, it is only the help of the Lord that can truly help us. When the doctor delivers his bad news, it's good to know that you can lean upon God for his help. For God is the one that has the last word in every situation. And when you get that news that seems to drag you down and heap great burdens on your life, it's good to know that God, who becomes your great ox, your burden bearer, he just comes along and slips his arms beneath you, carries you and the load to a place where you are delivered and you are free from that load that sought to weigh you down and destroy you. You see, James here is talking about some things when he says temptation. He's really saying that there are times when we experience evil. He's talking about times when we are provoked by our enemy to give up or to pursue something that we should be leaving alone, that we should never try to pursue. He uses adversity. I see it in families. I see it in people's relationships with one another. Adversity, that's the kind of adversity that reaches deep within us and really destroys us, not for just a short time, but for long, long times in our life. It may be that you'll never overcome the relationship that was broke through some adversity that you couldn't overcome. James is telling us that there are times when we are put to the proof, or we are proving God, and we're proving those things that have come into our life, and we're having to make decisions on which we are going to grab a hold of and that we are going to cast away. It would be better for us to grab a hold of the things of God, for they will never fail us. And it's already been proven, well documented, that the things of this world will fail us over and over and over again. How does one stay strong and stable in this day that we're living today? When our adversary comes in so many different ways and so many different forms, and yet when he comes, we have to be able to withstand the attack. We have to be able to endure. Let me read to you what that word endure is talking about. It's talking about how that we have to bear trials, take them patiently, suffer at times, but always persevere. That's what I want to really talk to you about today, to persevere. How do we get through those times when they come? You see, it's easy to say that we bear trials. It's difficult to bear those trials that we're speaking of. Trials are not really trials unless they put us to the test. How much weight can a man endure? He doesn't know until that weight is applied to him. When he can no longer lift the weight that has been put upon him, then we know where his limit is. The enemy, our adversary, every day is causing trials to come, a limit of weight to be put upon our lives that we have to bear up under, not knowing really how far we can go, how big a load we can carry, yet he's coming and to wear us down, to wear us out, so that we will give up. Because if we can't take it, he can break us. And that's what he wants to do today. Peter was told that the devil, Satan, desired to sift him as wheat. What was Jesus saying? He was saying, Peter, Satan wants to pull you apart. He wants to break you into pieces. And that's what the enemy wants to do in our lives today. Break us in pieces. One of those things that he will do is he will attack our faith, because if our faith is gone, then he has a better chance of destroying our lives. I don't think any of us today want to be destroyed. I don't think any of us want to see our lives without God. And yet, if we're not careful, we will alienate ourselves from God to where we are not receiving from him the things that we need to help us to overcome the things of this world. Well, I can't go any further. I'm out of time today. But I hope you've caught the gist of what I'm saying. And if you'll come back next week, I'll try to share some of the things that you can do specifically that will help build strength into your life so that when the enemy comes, you can overcome the enemy that's trying to overcome you. I want to pray for you before we leave today. Heavenly Father, you know those that are struggling, those that are going through hardships, difficult times. I pray, Lord, that you'll not wait another week to come to their rescue. But, Lord, you'll come to them right now and begin to minister into their life the things that they have need of so that they can be victorious over these things that are trying to destroy them. Lord, become the rock that they can stand on so that they can endure the hardness of this world. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
Way out in the harbor, there's a rock that's standing sure. Though storms may dash against it, it always shall endure. This fortress is my Jesus. He's a rock that is so true. And this rock will never tremble under you. I'm glad that the rock will never tremble under you. Oh, but it will stand through every storm you go through. But this rock will never tremble under you. How firm the great foundation that undergirds my soul. No storm can overthrow it, no wave or it can roll. So build your life upon it, for it will see you through, and this rock will never tremble under you. I'm glad that the rock will never tremble. it will stand through every storm you go through. Now you may tremble on that rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. I'm glad that the rock will never tremble under you. Oh, but it will stand through every storm you go through. Now you may tremble on that rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you. Now you may tremble on that rock, some people do, but this rock will never tremble under you.
I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I'll sail the wide seas no more. The tempest may sweep or the wild stormy deep. In Jesus I'm safe evermore. Oh, I've anchored my soul in the haven of rest. I will sail the wide seas no more. The tempest